Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kilowatt. My name is Bodhi, and I am your host, and it is Saturday. I was going to do this podcast on Friday, but it just seemed like the two podcasts were too close. So here we are, doing it on Saturday. I'm going to skip over the things that I like and go right to the people that I like. I want to thank all of the Patreon supporters, and in no particular order, Ian, Don, Dale, Cameron, James, Mark, and Nate, thanks so much for supporting the show. I really appreciate it. And if you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/kilowatt and take a peek. And for that, I try to keep it nice and cheap. And let's move on, shall we? Because we got not so much stuff to talk about. It's kind of a quick show. I got a couple rapid fire things here. Inside EVs, Tom Maloney. He asks, or a lot of people have asked him, does the 48-inch screen on the Byton M-Byte obscure the driver's view? So Maloney's actually, and I hope I'm saying his name right, he's actually ridden in the M-Byte, and from his point of view, it doesn't. The screen auto-dims and stays static while driving. Byton says they designed the screen not to be distracting or obscure the driver's view. So we'll kind of see, based on... When people can actually start driving this car. Right now, you know, we just kind of great the people are riding in it, but until people start driving it and kind of seeing whether or not that's the Reuters story, Cadillac or GM is turning the Cadillac into an electric vehicle. Now, I don't know if it's going to be all Cadillacs or just one model, and I don't know if it's going to be the SUV or the sedan version. And the reason why we don't know is because this information comes according to two people briefed on the matter. So who knows what that means, but we'll see. The next two stories are from Fred Lambert. Ford will stop producing some of its vehicles in Europe and will release some all new electric vehicles in Europe and electrified versions. We'll read into this hybrid, plug-in hybrid versions of current models. I'm guessing that means the models they didn't. So that's good, I guess. I don't know why Ford's not doing this everywhere, but I guess Europe is hurt. GM CEO Mary Barra and I, we have something in common. She doesn't think Tesla wants to buy any of GM's plants because Tesla doesn't want union employees. Apparently, there has been some discussions, but Tesla, it turns out, doesn't want them. I thought the same thing initially, and I think I mentioned it on the podcast. If Tesla buys or leases one of these plants, Ohio is not a right-to-work state, so they would have to work with the unions. They don't have any choice there, which would give the union an inside track in California, because once you're union in one area, you can't not be union. Yes, you could. It's not practical. Anyway, so in a quote, Tesla, this is Mabara talking, Tesla is not interested in our GM workforce represented by the UAW, so really it's a moot point. Tesla had no comment. So we'll see. I would imagine before Tesla drops dead as a company, they will be represented by some union. Right now, it's a moot point, according to Barra. This is an Autoblog story, Joel Stocksdale reporting. If you want to buy a Model S or Model X 75D, you'll have to buy it before Sunday, January 13th, 2019. That's tomorrow. You'll have to buy it tomorrow. I guess you have to buy it before the 14th of January. Right now, the base models of those vehicles are right around $76,000, a little bit more for the Model X. The base model will be, on January 14th, $94,000, and that will be the 100D. So, that is a pricey vehicle. They're definitely adding some difference distance between the Model 3 and the Model S and X. I went through and I worked it out. The highest package I can get for the Model 3 was $70,500. So there's still quite a difference between $70,000 and $94,000, giving some space in between the Model 3 and Model S and X, I guess, the other two. So my thought is Tesla's basically only got the one battery now for the Model S and Model X. Will this allow them to bring costs down because they only have to make one car? Because all of the other options that are in there, as far as the safety and hardware and stuff, that's all built in. So the only differences are like the interior colors and tires. That's really it, and the paint color. So is that going to bring costs down? It probably will for Tesla. I doubt that'll be passed on to the consumer. Maybe. Let's see. Elon implied on Twitter that the Tesla Roadster will hover. This was in reply to a Richie Hill tweet, which featured a GIF of a DeLorean from like Back to the Future looking DeLorean hovering. And yeah, I mentioned it and it's kind of silly. Next three stories, Red Lambert of Electric. The Model 3 is the best selling sedan, premium sedan in the United States. That's great. Model 3s and maybe some other EVs are all lined up at the San Francisco port waiting to be shipped to European markets. There could be as many as 1,000 Model 3s waiting to be shipped to Europe, which is not going to put a dent in the demand for Model 3s, but it's a start. And that's exciting for European customers. Of course, that doesn't include right-hand drive, so these vehicles are not going to the UK. The US is implementing the quiet car rule. So this is something we are actually talking about in regards to motorcycle Slack on the Patreon Slack. And Ian brought up that this quiet car rule, I don't know if that's exactly what they called it, happening in the UK and Europe, and now I think it's the UK and Europe. And now it's happening in the United States as well. And it's got to be implemented before September 2020. But car manufacturers are starting the process. At least Tesla is. So the rule makes automakers add a noise to warn pedestrians when an EV or hybrid is traveling at low speeds. So this is 12.4 miles an hour or lower, which is 20 kilometers per hour. Like I said, Europe and the UK have a similar law. This is a controversial, man, third take. You should have heard some of the other ones. So just assume that I said that word right. And in the EV community, because a lot of people who are owners of EVs think that this is singling out EVs and it's not fair. I would go so far to say that it's plenty fair and those people should get over it. So who is this going to help? Well, it's going to help me. I told this story on Slack, but very early on when the Prius, not when it was first released, it was a couple of years old, I was working in an auto accident, and I just kind of felt this presence come up behind me, and it was on a very low-traveled road. It wasn't a big deal. It was in the middle of the daytime. I didn't feel like I was in any danger, but I kind of felt this presence, and I turned around, and there was a Prius probably within 3 feet of me, and it scared the bejesus out of me. And it was stopped. It wasn't going anywhere. I just didn't hear it come up. I thought, like, my heart just kind of dropped into my foot. And I was like, oh, my God, this guy could have run me over. I wouldn't even have known. So it's going to help first responders. It's going to help the visually impaired, of course. That's a really important thing. Inattentive pedestrians, like you're on your phone, and children kind of playing in the street because kids don't pay attention. So jolt to their brain saying, hey, get out of the street if they hear the noise. The Model 3 currently has a little speaker underneath the car near the, it's underneath the bumper on the right side of the car. So like I said, this regulation is going into place September 2020. I'm glad to see Tesla is building it into their cars now. So that's Simon Alvarez of Teslarati. Stephen Schork, who is a noted oil analyst, appeared on Fox Business and he pointed out, and I was going to play the clip, but honestly, there's like 5 seconds of what he says that's important, and then the rest of it is gobbledygook. So basically, he said Tesla's putting out X amount of Model 3s a year with every electric, and then he mentioned Porsche and Audi and all these other companies that are building EVs. With every electric vehicle out there, that's one less car buying gasoline, and the oil company needs to brace for this. Now, there's some stories that I didn't do that I'm thinking about doing a Patreon episode on about how the oil company is A, bracing for the electric vehicle, and B, investing in the electric vehicle. But I do think this is a good point. And at the end of the video, when it, right before the clip is over, the announcer on Fox, or the host on Fox, she says, you know, these electric vehicles are great. Once you get in one, you don't want to get out. You don't want to drive anything else. I'm assuming she has an electric vehicle. But she was a very positive electric vehicle. And Mr. the guy who's an analyst, I think for the Wall Street Journal. I can't remember. It was some big. But anyway, needless to say, he's a technical analysis of energy markets. Fundamental and technical analysis of the energy market. So he should know. Moving on. Okay, this is our last story, and this one is a little bit of a downer. It's a lot of a downer. So in May, I think it was May, we talked about some teenagers that were traveling at a very high rate of speed in Florida. There was a turn on the road that they were on, and they did not make that turn, and they bounced off of like a light pole, crashed into a concrete wall. The vehicle caught on fire, and two of the victims died. Third one was ejected, and they were in critical condition but survived, or serious condition. I don't know if it was. So the family of the driver, and I'm, you know what, I'm really reluctant when it comes to these things to mention names, and it's not for any other reason than at my job I have to follow HIPAA, so I can't talk about specific patients anyway. So it makes me uncomfortable saying, even though it's published, it makes me uncomfortable saying patients' names. So I'm going to dance around that. Because, I don't know, for whatever reason, it's always been ingrained in me and I just don't talk about it. So we're going to dance around that. But the family is suing Tesla because it failed to warn purchasers of its vehicles of the battery's dangerous condition. They claim the battery pack was defective and catching fire led to the deaths. And, talk about that as it goes on. So the three teens who crashed the Model S, once it hit the concrete wall, the S caught on fire. Let's see. Here's Tesla's response to the lawsuit. Our thoughts continue to be with the families affected by this tragedy. Unfortunately, no car could have withstood a high-speed crash of this kind. Tesla's speed limit mode, which allows Tesla owners to limit their car's speed and acceleration, was introduced as an over-the-air update last year in dedication to the customer's son. So this is in dedication to the 18-year-old driver who passed away, who tragically passed away during the accident. Passed away in the accident, sorry. So yeah, so the family appealed to Tesla saying this is something that needs to be in your cars, and Tesla agreed, and they made this over the air. Now a couple of weeks or maybe even a month or two before the driver passed away because of this accident, the parents had put a speed limiter that Tesla installed at a Tesla service center. I think it was 2 months prior to the accident, because the driver, the 18-year-old driver, got a ticket for going 112 miles an hour on a Florida highway. Now, the 18-year-old driver had the limiter removed without his parents' knowledge. So that's kind of important. I don't know who actually owned the car. I don't know if the car was a gift and from his parents or if he paid for it himself. It doesn't matter. I don't know if the car was in the 18-year-old's name and the parents were footing the bill, or if the 18-year-old was footing the bill, or if it was in the parents' name and the 18-year-old was just allowed to drive it. I wasn't able to find all that stuff. But if the car was in the parents' name and the 18-year-old took it to Tesla and the Tesla center removed it, I can see where that is a problem. That I can totally see where that is a problem legally for Tesla. And they probably deserve there deserves to be some sort of lawsuit there. If the driver was the one that whose name was on the paperwork and owned the vehicle, he's 18. He can do whatever he wants. So I'm not really sure how that, whether he needed his parents' permission or not. He doesn't. He's 18. It's his car. So I don't know how that whole thing played out. But I read the NTSB report. Now, it's not complete. It's pretty much the preliminary report, and we're going to go over some information here. So the road that they were traveling on was a 30-mile-an-hour road, so you can't go more than 30. The Tesla moved to the left lane from the right lane to overtake a vehicle. While attempting to move back to the right lane, that's when the vehicle lost control. There was a pretty tight turn ahead. I guess it's a problematic turn, and a lot of cars end up getting in accidents there because people aren't paying attention. 3 seconds before the collision, the car was going 116 miles an hour. A lot of outlets that I came across reported that the car hit the wall at 116 miles an hour, and that's not true. So 3 seconds before the collision, it was 116 miles an hour. 2 seconds before the collision, it was 108 miles an hour. And the brakes were applied, and the steering angle was increased, which means that the driver was trying to correct for that turn, and stability control engaged on the Tesla. And now, at the point of impact, the speed was decreased to 86 miles an hour, which that's pretty significant, from 116 to 86 miles an hour in 3 seconds. The big difference, like I said, that's a big difference. Now, whether or not somebody would have survived the initial crash in any other vehicle, we don't know. I've seen, like I've said time and time again on this podcast, I've seen people who you wouldn't think that there would be a scratch on them, and they've had serious injuries, or they're dead off of small car accidents, and they just got hit the right way. And I've seen people who you think, oh, this is not going to go well, and as you're pulling one body out, there's somebody alive inside. So you never know whether or not somebody's going to survive or not. And when Tesla wrote this up here, I think this is problematic. No car could have withstood a high-speed crash of this kind. And it depends on how the car hits. It really depends on a lot of factors. Not everything is, the only consistent in a car accident is they're inconsistent. So that is, I would really hesitate to write that, to be honest with you. But there is no doubt that that is a lot of energy traveling into a unmovable object. So not to say that's unmovable, you'll break through it, but an object that's not meant to be moved. And a concrete wall, I'm guessing it was like a block wall, like you'd find it at a residential neighborhood. And that in itself that kind of gives away. So that absorbs a lot of the energy versus like a concrete pylon that you'd find in a construction site. I don't know what it was, but like a concrete pylon you'd find at a construction site, those things don't give way. They're meant to stay in place. And you could actually get the risk of injury is much higher with those. So, moving on, we don't know, I guess is what I'm saying. In the same situation in a different vehicle or another Tesla, we just don't know because the way things turn out. So there might be that they hit a curb the right way and there's not minimal damage, but everybody in the car is safe. Now, it is worth mentioning the two people in front had seatbelts on. The third person who got ejected did not have a seatbelt on. Now, I couldn't find whether the impact of was the cause of death or the fire was the cause of death. In a lot of cases, probably be the cause of death. Not in every case, but in a lot of cases where it's a... I don't want to say that. Man, getting real tricky. I'll say, judging by the speed that they were going and what they hit, the impact could have been the cause of death. We don't know. If they were alive and the fire was the cause of death, that is terrible. It's terrible either way, but that's especially terrible if they couldn't escape the vehicle. But we don't know. And I certainly don't want to sound insensitive because this is a very difficult topic to talk about, because despite the fact that this kid has a history of going really fast, it does not take away from the fact that he was a person and people loved him. None of that, none of anything that I'm saying takes away from that, and I calloused or anything like that, which from a first responder's point of view, it may sound like it's being callous, or anytime someone passes away in a car accident, or pretty, like it's hard because you know that there's somebody out there that loves them and now they're not going to have them in their life anymore. That's very, very difficult. So I don't fault the family for what they're doing because they are grieving. I don't know that it's Tesla's fault though. The other family, the family of the other person who died in the crash has also retained legal representation, so I'm sure we'll hear more about that. Obviously, I have my opinions, and I'll leave you to make up your own opinions on this case. That is the whole show. Way to end it on a bummer, huh? Goodness gracious. I should have put that. Yeah. In either case. Hope everybody out there is safe. And, all right. Ooh, geez, Lou. If you want to email me, it's Bodie, B-O-D-I-E, at 918digital.com. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at 918digital. And if you want to support the show on Patreon, all the money goes to the show. None of it goes to how I live bills. It goes into its own special bank account. It is patreon.com/kilowatt. And that's it. I'll put all of the show stories all of the stories we did today on the show notes. I'll throw a couple extra videos in if you're interested in looking at videos. And that should be it. I hope everyone has a great week, and I will talk to you next week.